Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Thursday, March 7th. 26 degrees, and it looks like we've got a couple of accidents, fender benders there on the exit of eastbound US 40, which is causing traffic now to back up onto Interstate 80 as people are coming over that flyover. So a heads up there. All sorts of emergency vehicles are reported there near the Silver Summit Home Depot area. But again, we've got 26 degrees and snow here in Old Town Park City. Nothing like what we heard from National Weather Service. On the phone with us, Thomas Geboy from the ABC Forecast Center. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie. And yeah, we're looking at those snow showers moving their way through. Today was always going to bring us our best chance of seeing snow, and that's actually playing out this morning. And the snow is actually maybe a little bit ahead of schedule, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But we are seeing those issues out on the roadway. So if anybody's going to be traveling throughout the Wasatch back, definitely a good idea to build in some time. And because of the snow, that's likely why we've seen some of the accidents that we have picked up. Snow showers at this point in the Wasatch back are spotty, but what I'm watching for right now is there's a group of showers kind of getting together in the West Desert that's working its way towards I-15. And if those showers continue to move east, then we could be looking at another batch of snow moving through the Wasatch back maybe within the next couple of hours. So we'll be looking at a decent chance of snow more or less from now through the first half of the day. Then as we go from this afternoon towards this evening, the system that's driving everything right now will be working its way down to the southeast, which will eventually take that best chance of wet weather from northern Utah, like we're seeing out there right now, into the central and southern portion of the state, especially by this evening. So we're looking at a decent chance of snow through the morning, maybe about a 60% chance, then a 30% chance through the afternoon. Then we'll transition to mostly cloudy skies as we move into tonight. Eventually, we'll see gradual clearing during the overnight hours. Today in Park City, we'll likely see a daytime high right around 35 degrees. And if the wet weather clears out a little bit quicker, there is a chance that we could sneak into the upper 30s. But once the system moves through, we'll see a northwesterly flow, and that's going to send our temperatures coming down tonight. So we're in the 20s now. By tomorrow morning, we'll likely be waking up with temperatures in the teens. Then for our Friday, we'll see a mix of sun and clouds, daytime high of 33. With that northerly flow in place, that temperature will be more than 5 degrees below our seasonal average. Also, before moving forward going into this weekend, should mention that we have seen some accumulations up in the mountains. We've seen roughly 2 inches at Park City Mountain, 4 inches at Deer Valley. And if we continue to see snow, then we could add more to it. So fingers crossed that maybe some of our mountains could get over half a foot of snow. Now, moving forward into this weekend, we'll drop to 13 degrees on Friday night. We'll see a daytime high of 42 on Saturday, because the high pressure that's going to build in tomorrow will quickly move from west to east. That northerly flow will quickly become a southerly flow of the weekend, which will result in that high climbing through the weekend. We'll be at 42 on Saturday, 23 on Saturday night, mostly clear skies. And then by Sunday, we'll likely be back in the mid-40s in Park City. Should be a beautiful day to close out the weekend. That high pressure, as it quickly moves from west to east, moves out of the way. And then by early next week, we're moving into a more unsettled pattern once again. On Monday, a chance of mainly snow. Could see a wintry mix with that daytime high coming in at 42 degrees. And we'll be looking at a chance of snow Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with Wednesday at this point likely bringing us our best chance with daytime highs returning to the mid-30s, Leslie.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Thomas.
You're welcome.
KPCW News Time now, 8:09. And with a look in the backcountry on the phone with us, we've got Dave from the Utah Avalanche Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. For today, we're looking at an overall moderate avalanche danger. The moderate avalanche danger is going to be most pronounced on upper elevation, steep terrain, where we're still dealing with some lingering wind-drifted snow avalanches. And the avalanche danger is low at the mid and lower elevation terrain, where people can expect to see dry, loose avalanches in steep terrain at all elevations, and where people may see wet snow avalanches with daytime warming at the lowest elevations. We're recommending that as people start to step out into bigger terrain, they evaluate each slope carefully for areas of wind-drifted snow or thinner places that may have avalanched earlier this season. These are the places where it would be possible to trigger an avalanche. And then as far as yesterday goes, we had reports from ski areas of wind-drifted snow avalanches with explosives, and then some minor wind-drifted snow avalanches from Upper Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon that were reported yesterday.
Okay, Dave, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:10. And good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:11, this is the KPCW Local News Hour and also the fourth and final day of the KPCW Winter Pledge Drive. Coming up in just a minute, we'll be checking in with folks from Park City Chamber of Commerce. We have CEO Jennifer Wesselhoff, along with the chairperson of the Chamber Board of Directors and owner of Park City Lodging, Rhonda Sedaris, and Aldi Milliken, treasurer of the Board of Directors, also executive director of the Kimball Arts Center. But first, let's get a recap through day three with KPCW General Manager Renee Bodley. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Leslie. We're very excited to kick off day four, especially in a snowstorm. That's always a lot of fun. First thing I want to do is just get down to business. We're trying to get 1,000 donations. We are just a little over halfway there, Leslie. We're at about 540 donations. So please, if you've not donated in the past 3 days, please consider calling us at 435-649-9004 and making a donation. We have a room full of volunteers standing by to take your call. If it's easier for you to donate online, you can do that too. Go to kpcw.org, click that donate button or the Winter Pledge Drive banner, and then to make a donation there, put in the comments section if you want a gift and what hour you would like to support. Of course, this is our local news hour from 8 to 9. Leslie, we know just from our streaming numbers, this is the most listened to hour of any hour of the day here at KPCW. We've got a great team here. They're getting revved up to raise some money for us. I think it's going to be a good day. Chamber of Commerce this hour, Summit Land Conservancy, Cheryl Fox, and watch out, folks, Charlie Sturgis are coming in the house at the 9 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock, Peace House, and 11 o'clock, the Lucky Ones folks are coming in. It's going to be a great morning.
It sure is. And again, as you just heard, just over half of the number of calls that we're hoping to hear. We're doing okay on the money situation, but that's what we were really looking for. The folks that continue to donate twice a year, we'd like to hear from some of those who have yet to donate. Again, it's real easy to do. As you mentioned, just a phone call. We've got a room full of volunteers. You can do it online, kpcw.org, or 435-649-9004.
And just a quick clarification there, we're not really doing great on the money side. We're trying to stress donations. But we're news people. We're about transparency. Here's where we are right now, folks. We're at $218,000 and some change. And last winter, we raised $281,000. So yesterday, we raised just over $48,000. And so we need to do much better than that today. It's critical that we get that 280 goal. So please, everyone, we need not only the donations, but we need the dollars, too.
Okay. 435-649-9004. Stay tuned. Coming up, I'll be checking in with Summit County Council Member Tanya Hansen. Later on in the hour, we'll be talking with Ivy Denahan. She is the program director for Girls on the Run. They're gearing up for spring season and need some volunteer coaches. But again, welcome to the folks from Park City Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. Jennifer, you're on with a monthly update every month, on the fourth Monday or something like that. So welcome back. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to share what we're doing at the Chamber on a monthly basis and also our economic forecast and just what's happening in the community. It's a great opportunity for us to share our message and to let people know what we're doing and sometimes what we're not doing in the community.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about how we're doing so far this winter. Good winter? I mean, we just had like a record snowfall for the month of February.
We did, and that's really great news for February. But when we look back, we had a very slow start to the winter. In fact, I just got some tax numbers from Summit County for the February report, which represents December activity. So looking at that December timeframe, we had Christmas and festive. We had Christmas and New Year's kind of fall on that middle of the week, which impacted travel the week before and the week after. And when we look at the tax data, we see that. The sales taxes for December were down 4%. Restaurant taxes and recreation, arts and parks taxes also down both 3% and 6%. And the TRT was also down during that time, about 7%. So our lodging industry definitely felt the brunt of that late snow and also Christmas falling on that Wednesday, which impacted travel. But looking forward, February occupancy was strong. We finished the year, or finished February up 5%. Average daily rates on those hotel rooms are leveling out. And March, April, and May are all looking really, really strong. So we're very excited. I can give you more of an in-depth report on our last Monday interview, if you'd like that, Leslie.
Okay. 435-649-9004. Now, taxes are important to you because that funds Chamber's budget, yeah?
That's right. We're funded through a contract with Summit County. Through the transient room tax, we receive a percentage of the transient room tax. That percentage has changed over the years. Currently, we're in the middle of a 10-year contract with a 70% allocation of the TRT. So when we're successful, meaning that when we have visitors spending the night and generating those taxes, then our budget is rewarded. We're rewarded for that success. So it's a good system. It's a discriminatory tax that our lodgers are burdened with and our overnight visitors pay. But if you notice, we're also incorporating a lot of the other data because we know that an overnight visitor also spends in the community. So we want to make sure that the visitors that we're attracting are high value visitors. They come when we want them to visit. And they're spending in the community. So it's really important to us that we're looking at those restaurant taxes, those local sales taxes, so that we can watch how that visitor spending impacts all of us in the community.
All right, so did you get the reprieve you were looking for from the state lawmakers in order to spend that TRT tax as a third-class county?
You know, the legislative session was a bit hectic this season. I think our strategist would say that it was probably one of the hardest sessions on the books in his more than 20 years of doing that work. TRT is definitely being discussed. We were surprised at the last minute that none of the TRT issues advanced moving forward out of the session, particularly with the Utah Fairground bill that we were watching very closely. That was going to have a tremendous impact on us initially and the seven counties around Salt Lake. We were surprised that all the TRT language was removed from that bill. So we do know that that means we're probably going to have a TRT omnibus bill that we'll be working on in interim session. And at that point, we'll work really closely with the county to make sure that they have the needs that, you know, the resources that they need to mitigate tourism and that we also protect the essence of what that tax was created for.
435-649-9004. Rhonda, again, as one of the owners of a large and longtime lodging property, you seen something similar to what she's reporting?
Absolutely. And it was a scary start to the season, but we've been able to close some of those gaps. And April, May, and June are looking good. March is looking really good, especially the last week in March. July, we start softening again. So maybe that's just travel trends. People are booking at the last minute, but we've also lost a few events like Triple Crown. Probably tired of hearing me say that.
You like Triple Crown, right? Because it brought families. So you rented some of the bigger units. Yeah.
And they didn't all load in and load out at the same time. I felt like, as Max Doyle mentioned several times, you know, it was a great event for people that didn't cost any money. Kids could go to it. And it was really thrilling to see these young kids being scouted by colleges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up playing softball, so I loved watching them on my way home from work.
Yeah. It was great.
435-649-9004. Again, looking for some phone calls. Do we have any thank yous at this point? Let's get to those because we're going to get to Tanya Hansen in just a minute.
I've got Gregor Hoffman. Thank you, Gregor Hoffman.
Oh, and I've got a couple here. Yeah, Julianne Rosen Carone and Jason Carone. Love getting the daily email update on local happenings while we were away. So thank you to them.
Thanks, guys.
And then Mari Doherty. No comment, but I can feel the love for KPCW here through the notes. So thank you, Mari. Thank you, thank you, everyone, for supporting KPCW and the Chamber of Commerce.
Carolyn and Michael Tanksley. Thank you for keeping all of us up to date on local news and events and for giving us music to put rhythm in our lives. Thank you so much. I love that one.
And do you have one more there, Jennifer?
Yeah, I do. And thank you to Utah Disaster Cleanup. Thank you, KPCW, for the support you give to Summit County.
Oh, thanks, Utah Disaster Cleanup. It would be nice to hear from some local businesses and chamber members during this hour. Jennifer, thanks for putting a shout out in your email early this morning.
We did. We send out our monthly or our weekly newsletter every Thursday with all of the great programs that we're doing. We sent that early today, so hopefully our over 1,000 members will get their hands on that and call in and help us reach our goal.
And okay. We talk about how the station helps nonprofits. We help local businesses too. We advertise all the events that are going on in town that bring people into town that then spend money at the businesses and the stores and the restaurants. And we also feature local businesses on our public affairs shows, obviously Mountain Money on Monday. If you are one of those business owners, you've been on our air and you think you've benefited from that, please consider giving us a call, 435-649-9004.
And we'll be back with the chamber. Right now, we're going to join Summit County Councilmember Tanya Hansen. Stay tuned. On the phone now, with a recap from yesterday's Summit County Council meeting, I have Councilmember Tanya Hansen. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's start with the UDOT update on Kimball Junction. The news last week was that UDOT no longer considering sinking 224 below grade, below Ute and Olympic Boulevards. Did they explain why yesterday?
Yes, they've eliminated Plan B from their proposal for several reasons. First of all, it was the most expensive at a mere $164 million. So that was a big reason. That plan would need to relocate three businesses, and it had the most number of property impacts. It was a wider footprint, a lot of asphalt, and they just decided that maybe that was not the direction to go. So they are now considering Plan A and C.
So what are we talking about? And I guess in terms of expense, and who's paying? Summit County taxpayers or the entire state?
Well, I think there's a lot of funding options, actually. There's grants available. The feds offer some funding. The state, it's a combination of all of those. I don't know if and how much the local Summit County would be on the hook for this, but it's a collaborative effort through a lot of entities.
All right. Summit County staff have been designing their own version of Alternative B. Can you tell us what they're working on, and could this put the idea back on the table?
I have no idea what they're working on. That was news to me yesterday. They're coming forward with a plan to present to UDOT in the very near future, so we'll just have to wait and see what that plan looks like.
Okay, would it throw a wrench in the potential development, especially since Dakota Pacific says that it would phase in development alongside UDOT's decisions?
You know, I just don't know, Leslie, because I haven't seen the information yet, so I can't answer that question.
Okay.
We'll see what this staff comes back with. But this is a 30-day period right now, and I think this is important for the public to know, that UDOT is asking for public comment until March 27th. So if it's important for the public to go on to UDOT's website, which is Kimball Junction, spelt out, Kimball Junction, EIS at utah.gov, and give your feedback on these plans, and we'll see what Summit County staff comes back with as well.
Okay, so we've got alternatives A and C now moving forward for further study. Looking at the map, so these don't seem to change Kimball Junction a lot. I mean, it looks like we're just adding lanes and perhaps some pedestrian routes that would, what, soon be clogged by all of the development that'll be approved in the next 10 years?
Well, they do say they're taking potential development into consideration when they're putting forth these ideas. Plan A is the split diamond plan, which it diverts traffic. It puts in a new exit kind of by the roundabout where the factory stores are and tries to eliminate all of that traffic, like going to Walmart, Whole Foods, factory stores, that residential area, to get that traffic off the road sooner so that doesn't go through the Kimball Junction interchange. They say that's the most, saves the most transit time, most pedestrian walk time, and the cost of Plan A is between $85 and $90 million. Plan C doesn't have that exit, and it includes intersection improvements, adds a third travel lane, pedestrian enhancements. It offers the shortest I-80 vehicle queue. As you know, right now, cars are backing up onto I-80, and that's a problem. That's a safety issue. It's also the lowest wetland impact and the lowest construction complexity. Also, the lowest cost at $35 million, Plan C.
All right, let's move on. The county council considered a code amendment that would allow Maverick to build a new gas station out at Quinn's Junction. It makes a lot of sense, as you said, for people commuting between Park City and Eastern Summit County. Any downsides to allowing a gas station there in the service commercial zone?
Well, I think the only downside would be that it's a little challenging getting in and out of that area. You know, they'll have to sort that out. But the county council did approve that ordinance change. So we've amended the use table to allow gasoline service station and convenience store in that area. And that's the only area that it's allowed. That ordinance didn't change anything anywhere else. And now Maverick will need to go back to the Snyderville Planning Commission to get a conditional use permit before they can start moving forward with this.
Okay. We noticed that the meeting for a discussion of Dakota Pacific was set for 3:00 yesterday, got canceled. It's now set for the regular council meeting next Wednesday. Is this for a decision?
No, it's not for a decision. We needed more time to analyze the financial data that we've asked for. We only received that yesterday, and we really haven't had time to look through that. So we've asked to postpone that Dakota Pacific meeting.
Okay. During public comment, some folks who live along around your ranch spoke up. They said that there's a lot of construction traffic from Toohey and the other luxury developments. It sounds like residents want construction workers to use Toohey's front entrance, not the back way by their homes. Is the county able to enforce that? I mean, Toohey's in Wasatch County.
Right. So Shane Scott, our county manager, will be reaching out to Wasatch County to get some feedback from them to see what we can do to eliminate that construction traffic to go through the back door up by the gun club over there. We don't understand why they need to go through that back door. But we're working on that to see if we can eliminate that problem for those residents that live over there in that area. They talked about how fast the trucks travel, the dust problem. And I've heard that feedback from them for a little while. So I was really happy to see them show up last night for us to be able to address that.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I wanted to mention thank you for everyone who showed up at the Democratic caucus on Tuesday night. It was a record-breaking attendance in all three of our caucuses throughout the county. I don't know how the Republican caucus ended up, but it was really great to see democracy at work Tuesday night. So thanks, everyone who showed up.
Okay. Tanya, thanks.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
That's Summit County Council Member Tanya Hansen. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's 8:30. KPCW News Time now, 8:30. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Again, the fourth and final day of the KPCW Winter Pledge Drive. And really looking for a bunch of calls. We are hoping to get 40. We're up to 9. So let's talk with Jennifer Wesselhoff. We've got Aldi Milliken and Rhonda Sedaris helping to raise money here from the Park City Chamber Bureau. A couple of thank yous first.
Rhonda? Sure. And I just want to say, giddy up and get out of bed. Get those phones ringing. Come on, you guys.
Right.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
But thank you to Jen O'Brien. Grateful for the Local News Hour. Leslie and the team keeps me connected to this community in such a meaningful way. And isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Here, here.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you to Pamela Bingham. A shout out to KPCW every morning for news and weather and lost and found.
Mm-hmm. And we've got Aaron Strange and Maura McKendrick. Love KPCW News.
Yay.
All right, thank you all.
Just renewed their Broadcasters Club membership.
Awesome.
Thank you, Maura and Aaron.
Woo-hoo.
I would also like to give an on-the-air thank you to Scott and Lane House. Thanks to KPCW being our community voice. And thanks to Rhonda, Aldi, and Jennifer for repping the chamber on this sleeper powder day.
All right, yeah, it came out of nowhere,
Scott.
Right? My goodness, it only snows when I come when I come to the radio
come
station.
Every day.
Yeah, right.
Keep coming, Aldi.
We are so grateful for Scott. Scott House is our VP of Partner Services, mm-hmm. and he and his fabulous team work so hard to put together a lot of the events that we provide for our businesses and our members and also our non-members. I know Aldi's going to share some of those now, but we're so thankful for his leadership and his vision and the great work that he and his team are doing for us.
Before we get to those events, shout out to Lucy Terry for donating, and Linda and Donald LeBlanc donated, and they said they are supporters and members of Summit Community Gardens who have been on the air with us. So thank you for that. We'll make sure that hour gets credited.
435-649-9004. So a lot of times we talk with the Chamber about the Visitors Bureau, but really, I mean, it's a Chamber of Commerce, first and foremost, again, right, a collection of businesses. So maybe talk a little about how, with their membership fees, you support businesses.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that for me and the Kimball Arts Center that we really want to push and communicate to people, that the Chamber is a unifying opportunity for people. There's so much going on in our community, and it's really hard to keep track of it all, and the Chamber really allows us to connect with other businesses, other nonprofits, other people doing all the incredible work that is here. And so we have a lot of events that are really supporting that opportunity for people to connect with each other. So, for instance, we have Lunch and Learns. The next one is on Wednesday, the March 13th, Business University, an AI Marketing Mastery Practical Strategies for Small and Medium Businesses. So, for instance, we were talking about how you start a new business or how do you sort of expand your business here. That would be a really great opportunity for you to connect with other business owners. On Wednesday, April 3rd, we have Customer Service and Customer Experience in Today's Business Environment. So another opportunity for businesses here. And then there's a networking event on Thursday, March 28th. That's the Chamber Snow Day at Park City Mountain. We've got coffee at Harvest and the Base. Silver to Slopes tours from 10 to 1, or 10, or actually at 10 and at 1. And then we have a custom après menu with drinks at Legacy Lodge for après mixers from 3 to 5:30. And then free to all partners and their staff, limited number of complimentary passes available for those who want to participate in that. And that again is Thursday, March 28th, Chamber Snow Day at Park City Mountain. So that's something for all of us to enjoy. It's snowing right now, or actually, is it? I mean, but what we really need you to do is to call in and support KPCW, who helps us communicate all these incredible things that the Chamber is doing. So what's that number again?
649.
Oh, yeah.
649-9004.
That's right. So get off the couch and grab your cup of coffee, grab the phone, go to your computer, and call in and support this incredible community radio station.
I love the locals who've been here for decades because they never say the area code. Yeah, they just shout out 649-9004. That's 435-649-9004.
Well, we used to only say 9004.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's awesome. Well, things are happening. People are calling in. And so don't miss out on this incredible hour of supporting the radio station. This is your moment. You've been procrastinating all week. I started here on Monday. It was a great kickoff. And I know this is the last day, right? So this is your chance. So now is the time to make that phone call for 9004.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how we used to have to sign out our library books. Yeah. That's all you had to do was put your last four digits of your
We need to start a Facebook page for the old timers. You know you're an old timer when.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I want to be an old timer, sort of, but, you know.
I don't like that name.
No, maybe not old timer.
Let's bring up old timer during senior hour.
Right, exactly. Well, young and old, all people are included. And so make that phone call, 649-9004. It's the time for you to shine here during this important hour.
All right. And then in terms of the snow day, any idea, Jennifer, how many tickets, free lift tickets you have left?
I think we have maybe about a dozen left. You know, this is an event that we're really excited about. You know, so many times the Chamber of Commerce, I think, can be seen as really only focused on business and the economy. And I know we spend a lot of time talking about numbers and data. And one of the things that we all love so much about Park City is that small town character and that connection to each other and to our community and that mountain lifestyle. And we felt that
that, especially during COVID, we heard from the community in that resident sentiment survey that we did, that locals felt that they were losing a little bit of that connection. And it was really important that we wanted to create an event where locals can come together, businesses can come together, and just have some fun together and remember why we're here and to celebrate the mountain and to celebrate winter sports. And this snow day event is exactly that. We try to put the formal business behind us for the day and just go out and have some fun together. So if anyone's interested in participating in that, you can go to parkcitychamber.com. All of our events are listed there. And also, we have a save the date for our Zions Bank Wasatch Back Economic Summit. That's going to be held this year, May 14th. At the Grand Summit all day. This is a great partnership between the Heber Valley Chamber of Commerce and the Park City Chamber of Commerce, really looking at issues that are regional. So we're illustrating our collaboration, our cooperation, and just our thoughtfulness as we grow together as the Wasatch Back. There's going to be great programs about transportation. There'll be an elected officials panel, which is always a highlight of that event. We'll be looking at all of the development that's happening in the area and a housing panel as well. So mark your calendar. That is an all-day event on May 14th. We're really grateful to KPCW help us sponsor that event. You'll be recording all of those panels. So for those folks who can't make it, they'll be able to hear the discussion. And we're really grateful for KPCW's support of that event and so many others in our community. So now's a great time to call. Call now, 435-649-9004.
Okay, before we jump into the next interview, a couple more thank yous here.
I've got one from Spencer Byrne.
Oh,
love
Spencer.
What the Chamber and KPCW does for local businesses. Thank you, Spencer.
I've got one from Megan McKenna. Thanks to the Chamber and their sustainable tourism plan. Thanks.
Thanks, Megan. 435-649-9004. And as always, thanks. It's 8:40 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Girls on the Run is looking for volunteer coaches to help with their program that begins April 1st. On the phone to tell us more, I have Program Director Ivy Denahan. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Yeah, so start by just telling us, what is Girls on the Run?
Yeah, of course. So we are an after-school character development and empowerment program for 3rd through 8th grade girls. And the goal of our program is to teach them a variety of life skills, kind of intentional decision-making skills, all these different things that all have the purpose of making them more confident in who they are. And then they're also training for a 5K. So it's twice a week for 8 weeks, and they'll end with a 5K at Sugar Health Park on June 1st.
Okay. Are you still registering girls?
Yeah, so registration is open. We'll take registrations all the way through about the first week of April when our season will get started.
Okay, so you mentioned you do meet twice a week. What schools here locally in the Park City area?
Yeah, so we have the program at Ecker Hill Middle School. So we'll be doing that, and that is a one-day-a-week program for our middle school girls. That's going to be on Tuesdays from 3:45 to 5:45 p.m. And we have enough volunteers at Ecker Hill, but would love more girls to sign up. And then we also are having a program at Jeremy Ranch Elementary. That'll be on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3:15 to 4:30 p.m. And we do still need another volunteer or two at Jeremy Ranch. And then we also need volunteers at McPullen Elementary, Mondays and Wednesdays from 3:15 to 4:30.
All right. Do you have any programs then on the other side of Summit County or into Wasatch County at this point?
Yes, we do. So we do have the program at Soldier Hollow, that's charter school. And we're working on having the program at Midway Elementary as well. I think they're going to get signed up. So we do have a few schools back there as well.
Okay. So what does a participant need to do to participate besides signing up? I mean, just show up?
Yeah, so just sign up on our website, girlsontherunutah.org. And what's so great about our program is that it is so inclusive of girls of all abilities, like athletic abilities. They do not have to be runners to do the program. They do not have to, you know, have a big inkling to want to do, you know, a 5K run. They don't have to do that. But we're going to just take it really easy with the running at the beginning of the season. But it does increase throughout the 8 weeks. And it's just teaching them, you know, no matter what their background is, where they're from, what their athletic ability is, that they can set this goal of finishing a 5K and doing it confidently.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, spring season beginning April 1st, and you are in need, it sounds, of a few volunteer coaches. What requirements do coaches need to have?
Yeah, so to be a coach for Girls on the Run, you also do not have to be a runner. You just have to have that motivation internally to want to empower girls to believe in themselves, to find their voice, and you'll be leading out of a nationally recognized youth development curriculum with 2 to 3 other coaches, so you won't be alone. And the curriculum is extremely straightforward, you know, very easy to lead and understand, and we will put you through our national coach training, which is just about 3 to 4 hours of online training, and then we will have an in-person training next weekend on Saturday, March 16th at Beacon Heights Elementary in Salt Lake.
Okay, how long of a training is that?
That'll be from 9 a.m. to noon. Okay. So 3-hour in-person training. Yeah, that's supplemental to the online training. And yeah, our coaches are moms, dads, you know, older siblings. You just have to be 14 to 18 to be a junior coach if you're in high school, and then 18 and older to be a coach. And it can be community members. It can be teachers at the school. Really a big variety of people who can run our program, and we will equip you to be able to do so.
Okay. And so the expectation then of the coaches is that they do show up each day that a practice is scheduled for, what, the 8 weeks?
Yep, you'll be up, he'll come to practice for those 8 weeks, twice a week for our Girls on the Run program, and then that once a week for our middle school program. And yeah, you just show up with the other individuals that you're coaching with, and you get to know each other ahead of time at coach training. And we also give you all the supplies you need to run the program. So we give our coaches a bin with everything they need. All the girls get their own Girls on the Run bag that has like their water bottle, their journal, their t-shirt. And so coaches don't have to spend any money or anything like that. It is totally volunteer, but we do give you everything you need to run the program.
Okay. If there are volunteer coaches interested in signing up, what do they do?
Yeah, so they can also go on our website, girlsontherunutah.org, and then under register, you can register for the program, or there's a tab that says coach. So you sign up, do our new coach application, and if anyone has questions, they can also just email me. It's Ivy, my first name, Ivy, at girlsontherunutah.org. So all spelled out, you can shoot me an email.
Okay, so is there any cost for the girl participants?
Yes, there is. So it's a sliding scale. So the cost of our program at the top scale is $215, but we fundraise for about over $160,000 a year just to be able to provide our program to any girl who wants to do it. So we're very passionate about never turning a girl away for ability or inability to pay. So in the registration, there's a self-selective scholarship application and process or financial assistance that anybody can fill out if they need any scholarship or any money off of the total of cost of the program.
Okay. Ivy, anything else you wanted to mention?
Just remembering that I did forget that we do have the program at Trailside Elementary as well. So that just came on my mind. They have a great program there led by some teachers and moms. So they do not need volunteers, but Trailside Elementary is also open registration, and they'll have a program on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Wonderful. Okay, Ivy, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
Again, that's Ivy Denahan with Girls on the Run. KPCW News Time now, 8:46. And welcome back. Again, it's the final and fourth day of the Winter Pledge Drive, looking to raise a bunch of money here, and we're still looking for a bunch of phone calls this hour, 24 in fact, to keep us on track at 435-649-9004. Any thank yous come in during that last break?
We've got some thank yous, absolutely. We want to thank Betsy Wallace. I love the chamber and all it does. Woo! Yeah, that's right. I love the chamber and all it does for the community. Thank you for everything. And thank you, Betsy.
Thank you also to Chris and Jessica Gage. They say, we love you, Leslie, and rockin' Rhonda.
And they're two little babies.
Oh, that's awesome.
We should put them on the air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also a big shout out to Terry Orr, who is a legend in and of herself. And her comment is that she would prefer the term long timer instead of old timer.
Okay.
I think we agree with you, Terry.
Thanks,
that's
Terry.
Why you're the writer in the group and I'm not.
435-649-9004. One more? Rhonda?
I've got two more.
Oh, I've got a bunch more.
Mary, thank you, Mary Antonori. Thank you very much. And Beth Rossi. And her comment is, beyond thankful for all the amazing things that KPCW and the Park City Chamber do to enrich our beautiful community. Thanks,
Beth. Thank you. And I've got a thank you from Max and Joanna Dolny. As business owners, Joanna and I appreciate all the work that the Park City Chamber and Visitors Bureaus does on our city's behalf. Thank you, Max and Joanna and family.
Thanks, guys. 435-649-9004. Again, we're here with the board members and CEO of the Park City Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. We were talking about, you know, during the last break about how the chamber supports businesses, but you also work hard to support the employees of those businesses. How so?
We do, and this is some new initiatives that we looked forward to in the last couple of years, particularly partnering with nonprofits in the community who are already doing good work and trying to elevate their work. So, for example, we partnered with Mountainlands Community Housing Trust on a workforce employer rental incentive program. So this was a way to try to incentivize locals to rent their rooms to employees. And through that program, we invested about $7,000 in that program. We also partnered with Rossignol. And through that program, we were able to incentivize locals to provide up to 34 beds for workers in the community. And as an incentive, those homeowners received a pair of skis and bindings from Rossignol. So we're trying to be really creative to leverage our influence and connections in the community with both nonprofits and businesses to better serve not only our businesses, but also the employees. The other program that we were really excited to launch this last year was the group medical insurance program. This was a program that for many, many years our small businesses struggled with providing medical insurance for their employees because it's just expensive. So this program allows small businesses with only up to two employees to be able to get access to group healthcare pricing for their employees. So this is a new program. We're seeing growth in the program, and it's wonderful to be able to get creative with the resources and the programming that we're offering, not only our employers, but also those employees that are so critical to helping Park City thrive.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, I mean, Rhonda or Aldi, did you look into the chamber-sponsored program to see if it met your needs?
And we did look into it, but we offer, because of the amount of employees that we have, and plug out to we need employees, and we pay 100% of your health care insurance.
There you go.
You're
doing good. Yet.
But we do use the chamber's membership benefit of ski passes for our employees. And that's a great value. That's a huge value.
And we're so grateful for the partnership that we have with both our resorts, because they provide us great pricing for as a member benefit. If you're a member of the chamber, you get really great access and pricing to season passes for your employees. It's one of the highest ranked benefits that when we do our benefit survey that our members are really grateful for. So we wouldn't be able to do that without the great partnership with Vail and Alterra, Park City Mountain, and Deer Valley. Really grateful for that.
And just in case somebody, their ears perked up when they heard Rhonda say, we're looking for employees and we pay full health insurance. Rhonda, if somebody's interested, where should they go?
ParkCityLodging.com.
There you go.
But I also want to say with the ski pass benefit, because a lot of times we onboard our employees after the deadline for purchasing an Epic Pass. And if you're a chamber member, you can still purchase those passes later in the year.
Which is great. Yeah. Like you mentioned, you don't need them in November. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a number of other partnerships that we do. We've got the Slopeside Partnership. They're working. The chamber is working with Tony Tyler and Columbus Pacific and EMG Management and the team managing Slopeside to bring in more access for housing in Slopeside. So that's really interesting and super important here. Obviously, affordable housing and employee housing is a topic that we talk a lot about here.
Can I ask a quick question about that one, because that came up in our editorial meeting? Is that for seasonal housing only for employees or full year round? housing for employees?
We are still working on the details of that. So we plan to launch that program in the next month or so, and we'll have all those details then.
So you're doing something similar that Vail Resorts does. I mean, they take a block, and that's what you would do, is take a block and then just basically guarantee the rental of that.
Exactly. Although we will not be the leaseholder of that. The small business will be. So we're looking at ways to try to provide resources to those small businesses who maybe don't have, you know, the resources that a large, Park City Mountain or Deer Valley has. So to be able to provide a discount for a small business to get a master lease on a program like that is really helpful.
Well, and this is really what the Chamber does. It facilitates needs, right? It facilitates and connects people. You know, we've got people that have access to housing, and we've got people that need housing. And so this is what the Chamber does at day in and day out. And this is why we want to support the Chamber and support the radio station here at KPCW. Because we're problem solvers, right? And that's what the Chamber does for our community. So it's great that we're trying to find ways in which we can support local businesses.
435-649-9004. We're halfway through that call goal this hour, so we got some more thank yous here.
Thank you, Casey. Casey Metzger of Top Shelf
All
Services.
Right.
Yeah,
hey,
we love Casey, and we love what he does. Thank you for being champions of small businesses that make this town click.
Thank you. Thank you also to Brigida Ray, waiting every day for Leslie to come on. I love the morning news.
Oh,
thanks, Brigida.
That's awesome.
Yay.
And a thank you to Melanie Welch, Park City Chamber Rocks from the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation.
Yay.
Thank you, Melanie.
That's board member.
Phenomenal.
435-649-9004. Another thing that you do for employees that people may not know about is publish an employee resource guide. What would somebody find in that?
This is a new program that actually was under the mayor's vision of supporting our seasonal workforce. And about a year ago, she put together a task force to address these concerns. And one of the outcomes of that was a online employee resource guide. And we partnered with so many of the nonprofits who are doing great work in this area, including Mountainlands Housing Trust and Mountain Mediation. And on this website, if you go to parkcitychamber.com, you'll find resources like housing resources and links to Mountainlands Housing Trust and the Housing Resource Center. You'll find Spanish-speaking resources, transportation information, healthcare and mental health resources, links to law enforcement and emergency services, of course, things to do. And we're looking at always expanding this resource guide. One of the things that we'd really like to do is partner with our members and our local business community to provide discounts so that seasonal workers can, support our local businesses and also get a little bit of a discount. So we'll be looking at that in the upcoming year. But, you know, we have almost 1,500 exchange visitors coming to Park City every year. About 40% of them are from Argentina, about 30% are from Peru, just about 10% from Chile, Paraguay, Brazil, and a small amount from Costa Rica. And, you know, these folks are just essential to helping us keep Park City thriving, especially in that winter time frame. So it's a great resource. We're always looking at growing it. Really grateful for the Mountain Mediation Center, who created some videos both in Spanish and in English. And it's truly a sign of a great collaboration and cooperation in the community.
435-649-9004. More thank yous.
We've got a lot of thank yous. People are feeling the urgency of the moment here. We got about 4 or 5 minutes left, and so we're going to be doing a lot of thank yous here, but we don't want to miss your thank you. So make sure you call in while we're reading these off. We've got Chef Punita at White Truffle Catering. Thank you for the tremendous support from the Chamber and Visit Park City. It is a true collaboration, and the results are even greater than the sum of its parts.
Nice.
Woo!
Yeah.
Way to go. I love that. And Rev Jordan, another one of our board members, I am thankful for all the Chamber does. Thank you, Rev. We've got more coming in. Matt Melville.
Thank you, Jennifer and Scott, on the Park City Chamber for volunteering at the Christian Center Park City Operation Hope and all the support that you give the nonprofit. Yeah!
Let's keep it going here, people. What's that number again?
435-649-9004. And thank you to Sherry Weaver. Shout out to Jennifer and the Chamber team. Thanks for all you do. Thank you.
And we've got to thank you. Thank you to Deirdre Walsh. Thanks to Jennifer and Rhonda for all you do in our community and for the Chamber. And thank you, Deirdre, for
all you do
and for Park City
By
Mountain.
The way, we love the fact that there's an NPR reporter whose name is Deirdre Walsh.
We love that.
We do. I know. Here, I know. It's fun. But thank you to Deirdre, our local Deirdre.
A special thank you to Celia Nash with Team Nash. KPCW is an amazing resource for our community. I heard about the pledge drive through the Chamber, and we are so thankful for Celia because she helped us develop that group medical program.
Nice.
So medical insurance program.
Right. She helps us with our benefits. Thank you, Celia.
And she does our benefits. That's why I...
Yeah.
All good.
Special thank you, too, to Sarah Myers. Thanks for calling in this morning and supporting the Chamber.
Thanks, Sarah.
And we've got 2 minutes left here, so it is time. Now is the moment for you to get your name appreciated on the air during this Chamber hour.
And I'm going to tell you, at the next meeting that we have, as the chairperson, I'm taking it upon myself to call out those who did not call in.
All right, I'm going to make my pledge right now, okay? This is me. I'm going to get off the couch and make something happen, but it's your turn now.
And Rhonda Sedaris called in and said thank you to KPCW and the Park City Chamber.
And we've only got about a minute left, so it is time to make it happen.
Make those calls real easy. 435-649-9004 or kpcw.org. Again, just in the last minute, maybe, Jennifer, you want to just kind of give us a rundown then of some of those upcoming events that people may want to pay attention to.
Absolutely. We have a couple of networking events coming up. We have our Chamber Snow Day, March 28th, but the week before that, we have our Business University, which is an opportunity to learn about AI and how you can incorporate AI into your business. We also are just announcing on March 14th, we're going to be doing a Zoom meeting that's a legislative update. So Des Barker, our legislative strategist, will give us an update on that. March 14th from 11:30 to 12:30, that'll be in your newsletter. And then also saving the date for May 14th for the Zions Bank Wasatch Back Economic Summit at the Grand Summit Hotel.
Okay. Again, great job. Thanks, you guys,
for
getting those calls in. We appreciate your support of the Park City Chamber and you showing up every month. Aldi, Rhonda,
see you at 3 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
You've been listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.